Our faithful God, our King of glory, I stand before you, O God, in need of you. I need your help, O Lord. I need your grace. I need your mercy. But I need your hand. I need you, Lord, to move. I need you, Lord, to speak. Deal with our lives, O God, through your word. Speak to us, O God, through the words that you have prepared for us. The way that you have laid in my heart. Lord, may your people's ears be attentive to your word. Please, Lord, I ask that you may give us concentration. We ask, O God, that you may use the servant you have chosen to use this morning. We ask, O God, that you may revive our lives and our souls. That you may feed us with your word that comes from your altar. We ask all this in the name of your Son. We say, speak, O God, for your servants are listening. Your people, O God, are paying attention. Utter your word. Utter your voice, O God. Let the mountains crumble, the earth melt, O God. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, when you read just one verse, and that is verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. It is a great joy again to be together, brethren. So, it will be good to use this time in a way that honors the Lord. Let's read verse 10, Psalm 46. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. This verse has been in my mind for some time now. And those of you who have me on WhatsApp, you will know that it has been my status as well, saying, be still and know that I am the Lord. In a way or another, I think the Lord has touched my heart through this verse. And I was wondering when I will have an opportunity to preach it. But at the same time, I am afraid that I may not preach it the way I feel it. You read this verse, and immediately your soul is grasped with the words of this verse. This verse gives you confidence in the times of trouble, gives you confidence in the midst of all your struggles. A psalm that was written in times of great trouble, in times of great turmoil, in times of great distress, in times where the people of God needed God's divine intervention in their lives. The enemies of God's people are in great commotion. If you read this psalm from top to bottom, the enemies of God's people, they are standing in uproar against God and his church. There is so much noise which will cause people of God to feel as though they are far from God, or as though God is silent with them. There's so much noise that will make God's people to feel as though they are not safe and they are not secure, as though there is nothing stable in their lives. It speaks of mountains being moved, although God is in their midst. It is not a secret, my friends, that such weights will bring confusion, will bring depression to the people of God, where there seems to be so much to handle in this life, and it's more than you can take. The psalmist here in verse 2 says to verse 3, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountain trembles at its swelling. But then you look at verse 5, it says, do not fear because God is within us. Do not fear because God is in our midst. It speaks of God in the midst of his church. This is the psalmist speaking about God. But here in verse 10, where we just read, Bazalwan, it is God speaking. The whole psalm, the psalmist is speaking, but verse 10 is no longer the psalmist speaking. In other words, it's no longer God using the psalmist to utter this word. God himself is speaking. He says, be still and know that I am God. God himself begins to speak. He commands his people to be still, to know that he is God. To know that he will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. he speaks such words while everything happening has a challenging effect in life. While everything happening seems to challenge the people of God, you find yourself on the crossroads. You ask yourself questions, where do I go from here? What do I do? How do I respond to situation? What if I respond wrong to this situation? What if I respond in a way that causes more trouble to my life? Where do I go from here? But then God commands His people in the midst of trouble. It seemed like there was war happening. The enemy was against God's people. But God begins to command His people. He's not asking them to be still. He's commanding His people. He says, firstly, be still. That's the first thing we get in verse number 1. Be still. Be quiet. Be calm. And you cannot be still, my friend, unless you know something about God. The psalmist, he knows something about God. He begins to speak and tell of what he knows about God. In verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He knows something about God. You cannot be still unless you know something about God. In verse 5, God is in the midst of His people. In other words, God is in the midst of His church. His church will not be moved. Verse number 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Someone who have such weights in his heart, such weights in his mind, will be still. Unless you have something you know about God, you will not be still. In verse number 8, verse 8 tells us that he God Himself brings desolation. He brings misery on the earth. Just imagine. God is up front, He's forward here. He says He's the one who brings desolation. He's the one who brings miseries on the earth. But we know why that happens. It is because of our sin. It is because of our sin that God strikes the nation. He strikes people. He chastens people. It is because of our sin. But He also says in verse 9, He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. So while everything is happening, while the enemy stands against God's people, while God unleashes His wrath on the earth, but on the other side, we see a gracious God who causes war cease to the end of the earth. While all these things are taking place, while the wrath of God is unleashed because of our sin, God says we can't be still. He says, be still. You need to let go of your own attempts. You need to stop and set aside all the things, all those things that easily attach itself to you. Set aside all those things that slows you down. You need to cease your trouble. That is what God is saying, be still. You can remember how Israel complained in the wilderness and God gave them over to the fiery serpents. What does that tell us, my friends? Thinking about death, be still. And then when they complain, God sent those snakes. It tells us that, Bazalan, God is not pleased with complaining Christians, people who complain. But you ask yourself, how can I be still where there seems to be no answers for my prayers? How can I be still when God seems to be silent in my life? When sorrows and pain overwhelms my soul? When things are happening in this life? When things are unsettled in my life? Where everyone is hasting to be rich. Where everyone is hasting to be above his neighbor. There is so much in the world to deal with. The rich travels kilometers to lose food from their bodies. While I travel a lot of kilometers to find food for my body. How can I be still? Why should I be still? There is so much controversies in the church. My New Year's resolution, none of them comes to pass. 3 times in a row. Why should I be still? Simply because, my friends, God loves His people. Verse number 9 says, He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. In other words, God solves problems. He's got the right to tell us to be still because Him alone solves problems. He brings all your trouble to an end. He wants His people to be still. He wants His people to be calm, to be cool. He wants His people to tremble no more. He wants them to know. He wants them to know to their comfort that He is God. He is the Lord. A present help in trouble. In verse number 1. So he wants his people to take, in other words, comfort to him. He wants his people to depend on him. And remember how he displays such a desire that he wants his people to take comfort on him. In the New Testament, you open the New Testament, you remember Jesus sleeping in a boat and the winds begin to blow. And what happened? As he awaked, Jesus began to calm the storm which threatened his disciples' lives, saying, "Be still, peace be still. Let the wind cease to blow against the ship." That is the desire that God has for his people, to be still in the midst of trouble. Even when wars strike from every side, even when trouble seems to escalate, be still. He wants his people to know that they can trust and depend on him. Friends, to be still in the midst of trouble is to say, "I know that the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrongs and do the right. If I will just lift up my eyes upon the hill where my health comes from, because my health comes from the Lord." This is the psalm written in the midst of trouble, in a challenging experience where the enemies was all over God's people. But God says, "Do not be moved." That's what the word "be still" means. Do not be moved. Verse number 6 says, "He utters his words and the mountains melt." In other words, God speaks from his voice and things begins to shape. Things begins to happen in the surrounding, far apart in your life. He's got a very powerful voice. Let's read about his voice here in Psalm 29. Listen what the psalmist says about the voice of God. Listen from verse 3. "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord break the cedar. The Lord break the cedar of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth, and strip the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." You can see the psalmist understand the voice of the Lord. And we, when we speak about the voice of the Lord, we speak about the word of God. So through his word, God is able to command us to be still, because God is powerful. So he commands us to be still. This is a matter of trusting on the Lord. This is a matter of depending on God. This is a matter of finding in Him endless supplies of new strength for your life. The Bible says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised." So he didn't just die, he was also raised. We can't be still. "Christ is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us all the time. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or the sword or danger? The wind may be blowing from all sides. Trouble may come from all sides. But God is able to tell us, 'Have confidence in me. Trust in me. Remember my voice. Remember my name.'" So in other words, do not question God. Do not contend with God. Do not ask many questions. Stop complaining. Although life may be threatening, although things may not be happening the way you thought it will happen, all of us, we plan what we want to do, but these things doesn't always come to pass. But God says, "Be still. Do not complain. Do not contend against Him."
the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it says, listen to this, the decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He foreordains whatsoever comes to pass. Nothing takes God by surprise. Everything happens according to His will. So for that reason, I should be still. All around me, all things may be in chaos. Just as the nation wage wars against God, just as the nation of the world are in confusion. Many things are happening that cannot be explained. But I have confidence in the Lord. I can be still. But secondly, he says, know that I am God. Not just be still, know that I am God. I think that is God's primary concern for His people. Throughout the whole Bible, God is concerned. He wants His people to know Him. He wants His people to understand Him. That is God's purpose. That is why God reveals Himself. He wants to be known. He reveals Himself to Noah because He wants to be known. He reveals Himself to Abraham. He wants to be known. He reveals Himself to Samuel the prophet. He reveals Himself because He wants to be known. He reveals Himself to David because He wants to be known. He reveals Himself to all the prophets. He wants to be known. He reveals Himself to us through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, because God wants to be known. There can be so many things, my friends, happening and troubling you. But unless you know God, you cannot be still. Unless you know Him as sovereign and in control, you cannot be still. Know that I am God. God is knowable. There is a way in which God is saying here, you can at least truly understand Him. Not to know Him fully, but you can understand Him. That's why He says, no. That is why, my friends, we thank the Lord Jesus Christ that in the New Testament, we do not depend on one priest who must represent us to God, and we cannot come to Him. So each and every person can know Him. He says to His people here, remember, this was a time of trouble, but God says, not only be still, know that I am God. Regardless of our situation, He is knowable. He says, my people, be reminded that I am God. To say no that I am God doesn't mean he was not saying the people must seek to find out that He is God. No, they already are His people. But He says, be reminded that I am God. Whatever you do, know that I am God. Remember that I am the Redeemer who took you out of Egypt, out of that land of slavery. I am the God who kept you safe and provided and protected you all the way. Regardless of your failure, regardless of your sin, regardless of unfaithfulness. Because there was a time when God was saying to His people, they put Him to the test. But regardless of all these things, God still says, we can know Him. You are my people. You are not your own gods. You cannot give anything to yourself. You cannot take care of yourself. You have tried that in the past. It didn't work out for you. So now know that only me, I am your God, your provider, your healer, your protector, your savior. Friends, I don't know about you, but really, it is a privilege. It is of great joy for me to know that He is God. Just to know that He is God. Not to be in trouble and then find out that He is God. No. So it is a great privilege to know that He is God. Because if I know that He is God, then I will not depend on horses and chariots. I will not depend on guns and security gates. I will not depend on money and high walls and then push God aside. Even though I may be wearing trouble like a blanket, because sometimes it's possible you always wear trouble like a blanket. Even though I may wear trouble like a blanket, even though the enemy may seem to be in charge or in control, but God says, no, I am God. The enemy is not on the driving seat. God is in control, working all things for your good. But I can tell you, my friends, if you are one of those people who think that God only wants them to be happy and rich, then you will not be still. Because possession can be taken away. Your friends will forsake you. Your loved one will leave you. We have seen these things in the life of Job. Which is why God says, know that I'm God. Don't look at something else. That is the point here. Don't depend on what you have. Remember, this time of trouble, the people of God, they might depend on their chariots and horses to fight the war. We might depend on the things that we have. But God says, know that I'm God. Those things, you don't have to trust on them. These things can be taken away at any time. Your friends can forsake you. Your loved ones may leave you. But know that I am God. Know that He is sovereign over all things. He rules over all things. He rules the earth with truth and grace because He is God. God wants you, my friends. He says, know that I am God, to have a personal relationship with God. Praise the Lord, we have a personal relationship with Him. Because that's what He wants. To know Him. To know Him is not to have a visit from God at night and sit with Him and eat popcorns, as some people will claim. No, that's not going to happen. If you ever had popcorns with God, it was not God. But to know Him is to know Him through His Son, through saving grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. So friends, the only way to know God is through His Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of the gospel. That is why, my friends, to be still and to know that He's God is to have peace within you. Peace with God. Peace of understanding that you are connected again or reconciled to God. Peace in knowing that you are free regardless of any circumstances. You know God. But then I can ask the question, how can you claim you know Him when fear of Him, the fear of Him is not in your heart? It does not exist within you. When you continue to live a life of lies, when you continue to show outside form of godliness, when you know that the road you travel leads to hell, how can we claim you know Him? To know Him is to be washed by the precious blood of His Son. So in this psalm, when God says, know that I am God, He's saying, be reminded of my great power. Remember how I opened the Red Sea for you. Remember how I drowned your enemies, the Egyptians, behind you. Remember how I commanded you to follow my statutes and not to forget me when you get to the land of milk and honey. I am God, I do not change. I am the covenant keeper. I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. Is there anything too difficult and too hard for me? If you can just know that I am God. He has not left Himself without a witness, even those who will claim that they don't know anything about God. But God did not leave Himself without a witness. Look around, look at the creation, look at the wonders of His work. The Bible says, the heavens declares the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim His handiwork. But above all, Bazalwan, God can be known through a saving relationship. You look at the cross, because out of His own divine freedom, driven by grace and driven by love, He chose to come into this world in the person of His Son to carry us upon His shoulders like a shepherd carrying a sheep up that road of Calvary's mountain, where He was slaughtered and nailed on the cross of wood. That old rugged cross, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world today. Know that I am God. Know that I will accomplish what no man can accomplish. Know that I have all power in the palm of my hand. Know that there is nothing hard for me. Know that I will remove all your troubles. Know that I am God, and submit yourself to the authority of my word. It doesn't help to claim that we know that is God, but we do not submit ourselves to the authority of His word. Why His word? Because His word is living. His word is powerful. His word is sharp and discerning. But thirdly, He says, not only be still,
know that I'm God. Know that I have a plan. God has a sovereign plan. He says, I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. So God wants His people to know that everything happens according to His sovereign plan. A plan that cannot be changed. A plan that cannot be moved. A plan that cannot be challenged. The nations may stand against God and His church. Wars and rumors of wars may stand. Trouble may seem to be unending. But no one can stop my plan. My plan is eternal. My plan is true and my plan is unstoppable. So said the Lord. In other words, God says, I will personally deal with the trouble in this world. I will deal with the situation. I will deal with the trouble of my people. And through that, I will be exalted. The present world and its trouble may look as though out of control, yet I am in control. Verse 9. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. So in other words, His plan is sovereign. He has a plan for welfare and not for evil. A plan to give you a future and hope. I don't know how the original hearers of this word received it when they hear God say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. I don't know how they received it. But it is clear to me, my friend, that God is promising His people He will be known by the heathens, the Gentiles, those who did not know God, those who worshipped idols, those who thought they were clever and making their own God statues. God says, yeah, He's promising His people. He's telling these people of Israel. He says, I will be known even by the heathens. I will be known by the Gentiles. I will be known in the earth. In other words, the heathens will know Him as God. The Psalms, probably most of them, are written 1,000 years before Jesus Christ comes. But God is already saying, I will be known by the ungodly. I will be known by the heathen as their God. In other words, God will be victorious on the earth. He will accomplish His plan. He will come to the nation and exalt Himself. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17 verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. You remember those words? He had what in mind? He had the cross in mind. Christ knew that He was going to be killed. But in that He says, God will be glorified. Friends, God has won many wars against His enemy. But it is through the cross that He is exalted. And is given a name above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it was that at the cross, it was there at the cross where it becomes the climax of God's exaltation, whereby God's glory will be recovered on the earth. Remember, it was lost when Adam sinned. So at the cross, it is recovered. It was at the cross where God will be honored in a way that He never was honored before by man, in the way that He deserved. Only through the cross this was possible, my friend. Only through the cross God achieved His plan for His people. So remember the cross. When He says, I will be exalted among the heathen, we remember Jesus Christ, who says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to Myself. All men, all types of people, all kinds of people. And here we stand today. Not Jews by birth, but children of God. Because God said He will be exalted among the heathen. But we can see in this verse, Pastor Anaguti, from eternity past, God planned to save His people. So through the cross, God planned to reverse that curse that He has bestowed upon humanity, because of man's willful participation in rebellion towards God. He planned it, that I will save them. So his salvation that comes to us doesn't come as a second plan, my friend. But it comes as God's initial plan, a plan from the beginning. God is saying to his people, there will come a time where all the nations will know me. He says, I am ready to be sought by those who did not ask me. I am ready to be sought and be found by those who did not seek me. He says, here am I to the nation that was not called by my name. I will be exalted among the heathens. It was time of trouble, time of great challenges, time of great need. But God wanted the people to be still and know that is God. They to know that he will overthrow their enemies. But there is a sense in which he says, Bazalane, there will be a conversion of the Gentiles. All the nations shall come and worship before me. I will have my salvation proclaimed in every nation, in every tongue, in every peoples. It is a great privilege to finally hear such words, because this is the God who loved Israel as his firstborn son. But today he says, do not worry, though I bypass all the other nations and said I love Israel, but even so, still in my plan, I plan to save you. I plan to lay my life for you. Be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nation. He sent his son to die on the cross, to die and be exalted among the nations, to die and be exalted in the earth. So regardless of any situation you can find yourself in, there is to us a sovereign defender. There is to us an unfailing source of peace. God himself says, he is our God. And the psalmist in verse 1 says, he is a very present help in trouble. In verse 4 tells us that even in great trouble, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High God. There is a river which brings gladness to the people of God. I don't know what you get when you hear those words, but I remember the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 17, verse 37 to 38, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I remember Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman, saying, the water that I give, there will become in you a stream of life giving water. He also says in John 12, verse 32, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men or all people to myself. That is God's plan. In that way of the cross, God is exalted. God is exalted among the nations. Christ calling each and every person to himself, giving us a privilege to know that God is God. It is through Jesus Christ to know that we know that he is God. So as I close, maybe I should ask, it is easy for me to assume, but maybe I should ask, is he exalted in our lives? Is he the one in charge of our lives? Have you already bowed your knee unto King Jesus? Have you confessed already that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father? Does it really look like that in our lives? As a church, does it look like God is exalted in our lives? Is that how our lives are all about? Have you been still? Have you been quiet? Have you found that peace from God? Have you come to know him as God? Have you come to know his saving plan? Because then you can be still, because he's your God. So God can say these words to you, be still, and they will make sense to you in the midst of trouble.
even though your enemies should be multiplied and increased. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength. God alone can seize your trouble. God alone can seize your sorrows and pain. God alone can seize your frustration. A mighty fortress is our God. His kingdom is forever. He rules the earth with truth and grace. In the times of Reformation, when the Roman Catholic Church of the time was killing the reformers, and Martin Luther was called to stand before the council, he composed, or he sang this song that he composed from the words of this psalm. Some of you will know the song. The mighty fortress is our God. His kingdom is forever. It gave him strength. It gave him the quietness, the peace of mind that God is his God and he will be exalted. That is the same kind of message that God wants us to get. To be still and know that he's God. Because my friends, we have a friend in Jesus. He will share our sorrows all the time. We can't be still. Be still. He is God. Be still. He has a plan. He has a plan and he accomplished his plans. In other words, wait on him. For those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and do not weary. They shall walk and do not faint. Be still and know that he is God. You can look back in your life and count all those things that happened. Nothing happens without a reason. Regardless of how difficult it may be, you can be still because he is God. He has sent his son to save us. That's the greatest privilege we can ever have. Regardless of what we do not have right now, if we have his son, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. May the good Lord bless us as we think of these ways, even through these holidays. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful Father, our God and King, we are thankful, O Lord, to be reminded of your grace and mercy. We are thankful, Father, to be reminded again and again that in the midst of trouble, where the enemy seems to stand against your church, when trouble surrounds us, O God, and there's no way to go, where at times we wear trouble like a blanket and the enemy seems to be in charge and on a driving seat, but we are reminded, O God, this day, we must know something of you, O God. We must be reminded that you are our refuge and our strength, our present help in trouble, O God. You utter your words, O God, and the mountains tremble, the mountains melt, O God. You are in the midst of your people, and you are commanding us to be still and know that you are God. Thank you, our God, for saving us, for bringing us to you, for giving us hope, for giving us a future we did not deserve, for planning from eternity past to save us. A wretch like us, sinful people like us, who were raging war against you, but you came to save us, O God. We thank you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all say Amen. We may come to the Lord as I bring the benediction. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their souls from death and keep them alive in famine. Our souls wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Amen.